Good morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. If you'll find verse 14, we'll read there in just a moment. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We have a wonderful crowd. God has blessed us with a beautiful day to be able to come and to worship Him together. And I am so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. If you will, let's go ahead and begin reading Ezekiel chapter 14. Begin with me in verse 14. Ezekiel says, "Even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the midst or in its midst by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord." Skip over to verse 20 with me. Again, Ezekiel says, "Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness." Over the past, several months now, as I have thought about different sermons that I was going to preach, I have continually come back to the story of Daniel in the Bible as an example that I could use to illustrate particular points in various sermons. And what is really interesting about that for me is that until really this year, I have not really preached from the story of Daniel an awful lot. But now, and you probably know where I'm going with this, he has become one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible. You know, I have a lot of those. But he has definitely become another one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And here in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14 and verse 20, Ezekiel lists Daniel alongside Job and Noah because of his righteousness. Daniel is in very good company. He is listed there because of his righteousness, because of his wisdom, and because of his overall character. Have you ever stopped to consider the character that Daniel had in the day in which he lived? Take your Bibles and turn over to Daniel chapter 1, and we're just going to go through a few verses together in the book of Daniel as a way of making an introduction for this morning. But look at Daniel chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. Daniel and his friends and his whole country are being taken captive by the Babylonians. And it says in verse 3, "Then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans." And so here we are introduced to Daniel, and all we really know about him from this point or until from these few verses is that he was a youth in whom there was no defect, and he was a member of the royal family. Skip down to verse 8. The Bible says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank." And so here we see where Daniel made up his mind, or your translation might say he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Skip over to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, Belshazzar is king, and Belshazzar needs someone to interpret something for him. And in verse 11, the queen comes in, and the queen tells Belshazzar about a man. And look at verse 11 of Daniel chapter 5. The Bible says, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. And so from this, we can take two or three things from that. He possessed an extraordinary spirit, and he had the ability to solve difficult problems, is what the text says. Look over at chapter 6 and look at verse 3 and verse 4. Darius is now king. And in chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him." Notice what it says. Daniel had begun distinguishing himself from the other commissioners and the satraps, and he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And in verse 4 there it says that Daniel was faithful. And I want to suggest to you this morning that Daniel was faithful because he was a man of impeccable character. But I also want to suggest to you that it wasn't just Daniel's character that made Daniel who he was, but it is a word that we use to describe his character. The word consistency. Daniel was a man who possessed a consistent character. I want you to think about this for just a moment. He spent 70 years in captivity. One kingdom fell, another kingdom rose to power, rulers came and went, but Daniel was there for an entire 70-year period of captivity. He was a constant. And his life is best summed up by King Darius in Daniel chapter 6. I want you to look down in verse 16, because you'll remember that there was this law against praying to God. And Darius had been tricked into signing this law. And so whoever prayed to anybody other than Darius would have been thrown into a den of lions. And what did Daniel do? Well, chapter 10 tells us Daniel did exactly what he had always done. It tells us that he kept praying. And he did so three times a day, as was his custom. And so we get down to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16, and Darius is talking to Daniel. And the Bible there says, "Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel," and notice this, "your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Well, certainly that did happen. And notice what is said in verse 20 when Darius comes and sees that no harm has come to Daniel. The Bible says, "When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lion?'" This God, whom you constantly serve, whom you consistently serve, will he deliver you from the lions? I want you to understand that King Darius understood the kind of character that Daniel had. It was a constant character. We might say today it is a consistent character. He says in verse 16 and in verse 20, he notes this God whom you constantly serve. Daniel served God constantly. He was consistent. Your translation might say that he continually served God, or he faithfully served God. That's what it means to be consistent. And Daniel is a great example of consistent character. If you think about it, consistency is really what we need more of today among the people of God. Sure, we need that out in the world among the rulers of our land, but more importantly, we need it among God's people, the people who should be consistent in their character. Consistency is something that we all look for. That's why we keep going back to the same place over and over again to get a haircut. That's why we go to the same restaurants and order the same foods. It's because we love consistency. That's why we want the umpire or the referee or the official to call it both ways, because we want consistency in life. And if you think about it, consistency is exactly what we need more of in the local church. You know, God is the same. He never changes. And so doesn't He have the right to expect that His people would be consistent as well? Regardless of the circumstances, no matter the pressures that surround us, God wants us to be like Daniel. God wants us to be constant, and God wants us to be consistent. And if you think about it, I don't think it's any secret today, especially, that we live in a very, very dark world. If you think about it, we live in a lion's den, in a very real way. There are dangers around every corner. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so how will we survive this lion's den? Well, consistency, ladies and gentlemen, and consistent character is the key. But the first thing I want us to understand about consistent character is that we must choose early. Consistency is not a decision that you can make once you are in the middle of some great problem. Consistency is not born in the heat of battle. When Daniel learned about this new prayer law in Daniel chapter 6, his associates had tricked King Darius into signing this, but what did he do? Well, we've already said, but go back to verse 10 and let's read it together. The Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously." He continued. He was consistent. He was constant in his prayer life. He followed the choice that he had made to be consistent. And he prayed just as was his custom. It's what he had always done. It's a decision that he had made from the time that he was young that he would pray. Back in Daniel chapter 1. Right after Babylon had taken Daniel captive, what does the Bible say again there in chapter 1 and verse 8? He made up his mind. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And when he made that decision, he was described as being young. He was a youth. And by the time we get to chapter 6, it is estimated that Daniel is at least 80 years old. Just think about that for a second. The decision had been made from the time he was a youth. He made that decision a long time ago, that I will not defile myself, that I will serve God. And there is no doubt in my mind that that also indicated that he was a man of prayer even then, but much more in Daniel chapter 6. You know, this is a great lesson for our young people to learn. That if you will make that same decision that Daniel did, and if you will make that same decision right now, that you are not going to defile yourself, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, your life will be a lot easier. Now, does that mean that you're not going to face, or that you're not going to face trials and temptations and difficulties? Does that mean that people aren't going to try to hurt you? Absolutely not. The people still tried to hurt Daniel, and he was a man of constant and consistent character. What I am saying is that your life will be a lot easier because you will not spend all of your days trying to pick up the pieces as you have made mistake after mistake and you are suffering the consequences of your sins. That if you'll make the same decision that Daniel made to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, then young people, you will be a lot better off. But that isn't just some great lesson for young people. It's a great lesson for older people as well. That today we face a decision. That today we need to choose to seek God, to seek His kingdom, as Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, and to seek His righteousness. Should I miss services? Should I respond this way? Should I post this on social media? I mean, I've talked about it the last 2 weeks, right? You knew it had to come up again today, right? Should I laugh at that? Should I like that? Should I say that? Should I do that? Ladies and gentlemen, once you have made the choice to seek the kingdom and to seek His righteousness, then I'm going to tell you, all of those decisions are a lot easier. And so these are decisions that you must make now. Choose to start early. Make sure you make the choice early on, as early as you possibly can in your life. But number two, you must be aware. As an official and as a foreigner, I want us all to understand, and I think we do understand this, that Daniel was constantly on display. When Darius sought to reorganize the kingdom, he planned, according to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 4, to put Daniel in charge of all of the commissioners and all of the satraps. Daniel had distinguished himself above everybody else, and the king would reward him for that. And while they were trying to destroy Daniel, and while they were trying to destroy his character, to assassinate it and to destroy his reputation, I want you to notice in chapter 6 that they could not do that. And there was one reason why they could not do that. Look at chapter 6 and look at verse 4 and verse 5 with me. The Bible says, "Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, 'We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God.'" They could find nothing. His character was consistent. It was impeccable. There was no charge that could be substantiated against Daniel. He was truly above reproach. His consistency was too strong. There was not one skeleton in his closet. There was not one now deleted tweet or deleted photo. There was not one hot mic soundbite that they had that they could use against him right before the election. There was none of that. There was not one thing, not one embarrassing moment caught on tape that they had against Daniel. And by the way, doesn't that teach us that if we don't want to have those things in our lives, it's better to have a consistent character so that we don't have those things in our lives? Absolutely it does. Daniel teaches us what character is all about. And what was the conclusion of all of those people who were trying to assassinate Daniel's character? Look at verse 5 again. They said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel." Now just stop there. They said, "We're not going to find it. It doesn't exist. It is not there unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." It wasn't there either. Please understand that even Daniel's enemies, the ones that wanted to assassinate his character, the ones who were jealous of him, the ones who wanted him out of the way, and who would do anything to make that happen, they noticed his consistency. They noticed that he was consistent in his character, that his conduct matched his calling by God. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that opportunities are either won or lost based upon your consistency. Let me say that again. Opportunities are either won or lost based upon your consistency. We need to be aware that our inconsistencies can become somebody else's excuse as to why they will not come to the Lord, as to why they will not serve Jesus. Have you ever heard somebody ask the question, "Well, if that person is a Christian, then why do they..." You fill in the blank. Dot, dot, dot. We like to use dots, don't we? If you are a Christian, then why do you watch those movies? Why do you watch those TV shows? You know the ones I'm talking about, don't you? The ones that glamorize and glorify homosexuality, adultery, fornication. Well, Wiley, that eliminates everything on television, here on TV. Well, here's a good idea. Just take your TV, and unless you use it for Zoom when I'm preaching or when Brother Ed's teaching, just rip it off your wall and throw it out of your house. We might be a lot better off if we did that, right? Why do you listen to that kind of music if you are a Christian? And by the way, it doesn't matter if it's bluegrass or if it's rap. There is music out there that's ungodly and it shouldn't be a part of the life of a Christian. It's completely inconsistent to the life we profess to live. But yet, why do we do that? Why do you use those words? Even to repeat what somebody has said. Why are you even going to do that? I've seen Christians repost things on Facebook because they believe the same thing somebody's saying. They wouldn't say it that way, but they believe it, so they're going to repost it. And then they're going to put all that foul language in somebody else's mouth. And then the message they're sending is that they endorse that language. And yet we post it over and over and over again. Or how about this one, especially this summer? If you are a Christian, then why do you wear that? Why do you dress that way? Here's a more personal one, dads. It was Father's Day a few weeks ago. Why do you allow your daughters to dress that way? Somebody says, "Well, you know, I didn't take the picture of her. I didn't want them to put that on Facebook. Why did you let her wear it? Why did you let your son wear it?" Because it's not very consistent. It's not very consistent with Christianity. If you are a Christian, why do you drink? Why do you repost and like and comment on things on social media that advocate immodesty and immorality and gossip and slander and all of those things? Why do you do it? We need to be aware that what we do sends a message. But does it send a message that is consistent with godliness and with Christianity? We also need to be aware that our consistent character, when we conduct ourselves in a godly way, can be a great tool for evangelism. And the story of Daniel, if it doesn't teach us anything else, it teaches us that too. It teaches a little bit of a negative point there, if you will. But it teaches something with great positivity in it as well. That our consistency can help bring somebody to the Lord. I want you to go to verse 24. And after all is said and done, and after Daniel comes out of that lion's den, and he has not been touched by a lion. He comes out of that and he's okay. And notice what happens with Darius, the king. Look at verse 24. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children and their wives, into the lion's den. And they have not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in the land, "May your peace abound. I will make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. I want you to notice that Darius believed in God. Just think about that. Darius, the king, believed in God because Daniel was constant. And because Daniel was consistent. And isn't it the exact same way for us? Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you'll remember in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Peter talks about the fact that God has given us this great responsibility. That God has given us as His people this great purpose. And in verse 9 and 10, he says that this purpose is for us to proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But then once we do that, I want you to notice what Peter says in verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers." Daniel was in captivity. He was an alien and a stranger. But now Peter is talking to other aliens and strangers. He says to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. And notice verse 12. He says, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter says that the very people who revile you, who ridicule you, who slander you as an evildoer, that they will one day glorify God. And why is that? It's because of your consistent character. It's because in this text, your excellent behavior, which is an indicator of consistent character. I want us all to understand that we live as exiles in a foreign land. Just like Daniel, just like his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are on display. Please understand that even in the COVID-19 quarantine, People are watching you. People are noticing you. Your kids are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. They are watching you every time that they are with you. And because of technology, they are with you a lot more than you realize. They are watching you all of the time. They are watching you when you are not physically with them. They are watching you online. It reminds me kind of that song, that stalker song, "I'll be watching you every step you take, every move you make. I'll be watching you." That's exactly what it's like being a child of God. We are on display. We are being watched by people out in this world. People are watching you, and ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea that they are watching you when they are. Here's the point. Be aware of the great responsibility that you have, but be aware of the great opportunity that you have as people are watching you. Will they see someone with consistent character? And that leads us to our final point this morning. You must never fear. Because Daniel was different, he stood out. Let me just say that again. Daniel, because of his consistent character, stood out. He was different. You know, most of the time, if you're like me, you don't like to stand out. You want to kind of just fit right in, right? Please understand that Daniel didn't stand out because of what he wore on the outside. Daniel did not stand out because he was some loud and boisterous personality, or because he was the life of the party, or because he was just so funny, or because he was the great athlete or musician of his day and time. No, Daniel stood out because of his consistent character. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but Daniel was incredibly outnumbered. In Daniel chapter 6, he was outnumbered 122-1. His fellow rulers, according to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 24, as Darius talks about them, they maliciously accused him. And punishment for disobeying the prayer law was to be cast into a den of lions. Now let me just ask you this. Would that cause you to conform? I realize we lost a dear beloved mascot this past week at UNA. But does anybody want to go sit in that lion enclosure with that one lion that's left for a long period of time? If our mayor came up and said, "If you do this, we're going to put you in here," would you want to conform? Or would you want to be in that lion's enclosure, that lion's den? Would that tempt you to close the windows when you pray? Would that tempt you to say the words without closing your eyes or bowing your head? When people rode in the car with you and your Bible was on the seat, would you want to put it under your seat or in your trunk? Or would you keep it where you had it? When Daniel was brought out of the lion's den, according to Daniel 6 and verse 23, no injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted in Jehovah. The temptation, whenever we are persecuted or ridiculed or reviled or anything like that, is always to give in. It is to compromise. And then it is to justify and to rationalize our decision to give in. But Daniel teaches us to never fear. Do you remember what David said back in Psalm 56? By the way, we're still reading the Psalms every day, Monday through Friday, right? Psalm 56. Go back. We read this a few weeks, actually about a month ago. Psalm 56. And notice what is said there in verse 3 and verse 4. Psalm 56, verse 3 and verse 4. David says this. He says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Nothing. Man can do absolutely nothing." We must live the same consistent godly lives in the face of persecution. We can have the same attitude that Daniel's friends had in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 18 when they said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we will not bow down to your gods." Consistency is the key. Consistency is what helps us stand apart from everybody else. God has the power to shut the mouths of fear. God has the power to shut the mouths of worry and doubt and discouragement and persecution. We just have to trust Him and never fear. You know, what I find really interesting about Daniel is that among all the characters in the Old Testament, he is only mentioned by name one time in the New Testament. And it's not even in Hebrews chapter 11, which is where you would think that we would read about Daniel and his impeccable character. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer does speak in verse 33 about those who by faith shut the mouths of lions. And when you read that great chapter, all of those faithful people had something in common. They had faith, and they had a consistent character. Be consistent in your character. That's the lesson for today. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to sing together, "Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer." And then after singing this song, we will be led in a word of closing prayer. And then after that, we will be dismissed.